everybody. This is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net, and I'm here with my friend Katya. How's it going, Katya?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Debbie?
I am doing very well today. Thank you. So we are both certified intuitive eating counselors, and this is our intuitive eating video series. And today we'll be referring to, of course, the book Intuitive Eating, and our topic is Honor Your Hunger. So let's dive right into it. Let's start with, why is this an important principle? What do you think, Katya?
Well, you know, the first principle is, of course, to reject diet mentality, because if you're not at that stage in readiness, then you're not going to really be following up and doing. And hunger is one of the first connections you make with your own body. It's something you do every day. And it's also been very heavily affected by diet mentality as well. You know, because hunger has become the enemy, and you're not supposed to, and you know, it's a virtue if you're starving to death and all this other. So reconnecting to hunger as it is the first good challenge and work that most people tend to do.
Yeah, and that's what I did too. I started with hunger as the first, I'm going to attack this part of intuitive eating, even though diet mentality was such a huge part of it too. I didn't realize that, but hunger was the first thing I did where I felt I took action.
Yeah, I understand. And I was that way too. I mean, we jump right over the first one. We say, I'm not going to diet anymore. And we jump right into hunger because it's the first to do. It's the first thing you really get your teeth into, literally, and go for. And so it's such a milestone or the first thing you really want to get into. And so it's important, and it does affect the rest of the things indirectly. You don't think of it. You think of hunger and fullness and satisfaction and mindfulness and body and all this as separate entities, and they are up to a point, but they all interrelate. And hunger is where we start. It's just a natural starting point.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing I wanted to point out was that our bodies need fuel. Our bodies are telling us with hunger that it needs something. It needs fuel to keep going. Our bodies want to survive. And people often do like low carb or like keto or Atkins or whatever you want to call it. Or they'll do low fat. And they're restricting those really important things that we need in our body. And what actually happens is that if you don't have, like, for example, you don't have enough carbohydrates to use as fuel, your body will just start using its muscle. You know, your heart muscle and all these body parts that you need muscle for, your body starts taking from that to use it for energy. And it's really devastating to your body.
Anorexics die from heart failure because what happens is muscle actually contains glucose. And that's what the body's trying to go for and get so that it can have the fuel to keep itself and energy to keep going. But another element that we don't want to forget about hunger and what's important is nutrients. I mean, you have to have minerals and other trace elements for your body to function as well. So there's a lot of reasons for hunger to motivate us.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I know that there were some issues that came up for me, not significantly, but like bone issues, because a lack of calcium and I think it was vitamin D, and I'm not a nutritionist, but they essentially said you have to eat, otherwise your bones will get brittle. And there's a whole bunch of things that can happen. Your hair, you know, gets brittle. Your skin has issues. I mean, there's so many things that you need in food that you just don't absorb because you aren't eating.
Well, you know, your body is set up to take and do it what it needs to do. And if it can't get that, what it's going to do is default and let go of those elements that it needs least. You know, you can get along without your hair, but you can't get along without your heart. So that's why you'll see those type of symptoms show up.
Absolutely. So diet mentality, like we've talked about in the past, it's a huge part of what's going on. So how does that discourage reconnecting with our hunger?
Well, diet mentality has made hunger the enemy. It's to be avoided. You know, you're virtuous if you're hungry and, you know, you ignore it. You know, so we've long fallen into this pattern of ignoring our hunger or being ashamed of it or any number of things. So diet mentality rears its head right off the bat with hunger that way. I mean, you know, and we have suppressed it. So our sensations and we doubt ourselves. Can we feel hungry? We don't feel like we can. I know I didn't.
Me too. Yeah. I was like, is that hunger? What is that? And it was hard to tell because I, like you, suppressed it and ignored it for so long.
I mean, we want this specific thing that's hunger, and hunger isn't just one thing, which we'll talk about more too.
Absolutely. I want to also point about the dieting rules. And so diet mentality, of course, is, you know, based on dieting. And there's things like you can't eat past 7 o'clock, or, you know, you can't eat here or there. Mm-hmm. I remember, I think it was Oprah or someone, maybe it's just a general thing that's going around, but you can't eat past a certain time in the evening. Otherwise, you'll gain more weight. And I'm thinking, what if I'm hungry? And so people just don't eat even though they may be hungry. And so over time, that's just part of their routine, and they ignore their hunger as their routine.
Yeah, there's a lot of these truisms that we accept with diet mentality. And one of them is that if you, you know, especially the late night evening is definitely one of the mm-hmm. points that everyone gets into in that. And that the concept is that if you eat later, you're not as active, and you're going to sleep, and so your body's not going to be able to take this nourishment and do something with it other than turn it into fat. And so that's the big, you know, scary point. But it's not necessarily true. I mean, evening eating, if you're hungry, you need to. You won't sleep as well, you know, and you're also setting yourself up to be super hungry in the morning when you're either busy, a lot of people getting ready for work and such, or you're not in the mood to really eat well. So if you're learning that if your body's telling you you're hungry, eat. You don't have to eat a full course meal. You might have a handful of almonds or something like that, or what you're indicating you want. But I dealt with that evening eating routine too, because it was such an entrenched, beat on rule. Don't eat after 6 or 7 o'clock, you know. So, of course, desserts become a big no-no, you know, and things like that. You know, it's silly, but this is what we have to realize we're dealing with. And is it valid for us or not?
Diet mentality also, for me, it made me want to just avoid food in general, because in my brain, and of course I got to the point where it was an eating disorder, but my little brain thought if I ate food, I would get fat, and I wanted to avoid weight gain at all costs. And so that meant that I just didn't eat. And that was why I had some of those medical complications, not severe, but they were there. And it was really, it ruined me physically to a certain degree. And I'm still recovering to a certain degree from that damage.
Yeah. I mean, it's sad, because that is, again, one of the keystones that get us into this. And you know, once you get into that pattern, you feel that is normal and as well as desirable. And so you're really fighting with your own body all the way.
Yeah. And that actually causes a lot of mental stress as well, just because it's the physical, like you need to eat, but also the mental, I don't want to, but I need to. And it's just all around damaging.
Yeah. It's not really a good situation, but it's one that we get sucked into or tell ourselves to do, because we have this huge fear of being fat. I mean, I see pictures of some anorexics, and they're walking skeletons, and they still have mentally, they see fat on themselves.
Yeah, it's body dysphoria. So how does one reconnect with hunger signals?
Well, I think, you know, of course, we start with awareness. I mean, that 1 minute we know that our body's going to get hungry, and so we want to, you know, do that. I didn't have a lot of assistance, so the only thing I can think of for myself, and I tended to ignore my hunger. I knew that, you know, that because of the it's a virtue, not, you know. Anyhow, but what I did, I just took and had a little hour timer. And I'd set it, and then every hour I'd check in with myself, because I knew I couldn't wait for myself, for my body to tell me, because I would ignore it. So if I had something mechanically that I, you know, oh yeah, now it's time. And I learned a lot from doing that. So that was just my way of doing it. And it helped me not only to understand and feel hunger more when it was subtle, because some of that, we'll talk about levels, but it also helped me to realize that, you know, different foods would hold me for, or, you know, last in my body for a certain amount of time. So it was a twofer for me.
I did something similar. I worked in a school when I was a school psychologist, and I would check every time the bell would ring for the next period. So then every 15 minutes or whatever, like, oh, the bell rang. How's my hunger? Do I need to eat? Do I need to, you know, wait, or can I wait? And that was very helpful. Just that routine kind of got me into checking in.
That's really smart. See, there are elements of our day that we can make use of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and the clock is a big deal. In one way, it's a friend because it helps remind us. And in other ways, it's an enemy because we're so programmed into, you know, is it lunch? Is it breakfast? And this and that. So, you know, there's the other part of aspect of hunger is not to fall into the social aspect of it, but to really tune again back into your body. What is your body really saying and needing?
Absolutely. And so the authors, they present us with this hunger scale, and it's a 10-point scale. I know you have one that's a little simpler, which we'll get to in a moment. But the authors have that 10-point scale, and it can be a little overwhelming because it includes fullness in it, but I want to focus on the hunger. So what's the scale that you use that you found helpful when you started intuitive eating?
For me, the 10-point scale was just too detailed, and it caused me too much confusion. I felt like I had to meet those marks instead of using them as something to help me guide myself. So what I did is I just went to what I call it a simplified. I'd seen one like that in another book. And it was sort of based like on a gas tank on a car. You're either full or you're empty or somewhere in between. So I just, this, as you can see, I just had one was starved or empty, and two was hungry. Eating would be good. And three was not hungry, not full, or sat, you know, in the middle. And four was full, but no longer hungry. And five was stuffed. So, you know, once I could find those outrageous boundaries, then I could go, after I figured that out, I went into the hunger scale that you're going to share.
And I think that people sometimes get focused on, well, the book says this, and so that they have to use the 10-point scale. But a 5.1 is fine, 4 points, whatever works for you. And the other thing that I got caught up on for me, because I'm a little more like anal retentive and type A, was, am I a 3 or am I a 4 or am I a 3.5? And I really got into it and I overanalyzed it to death. And it made me realize I need to relax a little bit and just let my body tell me what it needs. But I really got hung up on the number.
In a way, if it would be fun, if, and it's hard to do in a book, to have what I'd call a sliding scale. It's not like 0.1, 2, 3, 4, but you know, you can move it along. Is it, it's getting more this way, or is it getting more that way? Or, you know, it's something, it's not there to judge us or to tell us when to do it. It's more for us to real reflect on ourselves so that we can reconnect with what our body's telling us. I mean, you know, the levels of hunger are such that you can be a little hungry, and it's just all it's like that, you know, your gas tank saying, you know, you're not out of fuel yet, but you might want to think about looking around for a gas station pretty soon, you know, and that type of thing. And so the same thing is true of hunger. You know, you can be, you know, I only knew hunger from the extreme ends. I'd ignored it so long that when I was hungry, give me food. And that was my association with hunger. So, you know, there's subtle, there's points when you can get before that. And the bad part about being overly hungry is that you intend to overeat to balance it.
And I think one thing that people need to, for me too, was to think about, what other cues are there other than that growling pain in your stomach? You know, like, I would feel lightheaded. I would have difficulty concentrating. I was irritable. I mean, there are so many other things. I had a headache. I would think about food. Those other subtle things were cues for hunger that I didn't realize existed, because I just knew, like you, starving or stuffed.
Yeah. And yeah, I noticed those things too. And usually by the time I'm not able to focus, or, you know, attention span or headachy, I'm pretty far down on the scale. I'm overly hungry. So it was, you know, and once you start associating that, you understand how, or become aware of how unpleasant that is, and it doesn't do you any good. I mean, I used to have to remind myself in the late afternoon, I'd be busy doing something and everything, and I know I was hungry, but, you know, I'll get to it. And if I didn't, then I would be in a mess. So I would say, come on, just It won't take you 10 seconds to stop and eat a little something. It'll be fine. You don't have to have a whole meal. And so once I got that in, I leveled out better, and I was able to notice the subtle things. The subtle signals that I noticed first were when food would just pop into my head. Then, woman is trying to tell me, yeah, you're starting to get hungry, starting to, you know, you don't have to eat this moment or fall over, you know, in a faint, but, you know, that type of stuff. So you will, if everyone as they play around with it, will find and is what is their subtle signals and how, you know, you can choose to deal with them at that moment or not.
And everyone's different. So, you know, audience members, your signals may be different than mine or Katya's, but see what works for you. But the other thing I wanted to ask about, what are challenges? Because this is one of the earlier principles, so people tend to tackle it first. What challenges come up for people that you've noticed?
Well, the first one is what we've discussed before, is that diet mentality tells you hunger is to be avoided. It's you're virtuous if you don't. That's the number one challenge. And the other challenge is that you have a fear of it.
Yeah.
You're afraid that if you do this, you're failing or this and that. So there's this part of it and diet mentality too. But the challenge is once you are allowed to eat, or you tell yourself you're allowed to eat, what do you eat? You know, and then brings in the fear of foods, you know, oh, I can't eat this or that. And it's more diet mentality, of course. But, you know, it brings in all these, it starts to, The principles are great because they give you an idea of what it is you're trying to do, but they overlap a lot more than we realize.
Yeah. And a couple of things, like what I noticed for me, and I know others mentioned it too, is the perfectionism comes into play, where they want to eat exactly at a certain level. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't really work that way. You know, you need to kind of be flexible. And sometimes mm-hmm. you are at a 3 versus a 4. And it's not about being perfect. It's about the progress. And the other thing is that people want it now, and it takes time to learn those hunger signals again. And I just think to myself, it took me years to get to the point where I am, where I learned about IE. So it's going to take me time to undo all that.
Yes. And there's another element which I consider diet mentality too, is trust. Can you trust yourself to eat? Can you trust that what you're going to choose is going to be okay? There's a lot of overlapping things, and it's all at first. So, you know, you're not skilled in all these other areas. So you're trying to do this one thing, and yet the other ones are jumping in there. And you know, there are different types of hunger.
Yeah.
Not just levels, but types. You know, hunger is basically a want or a need that isn't satisfied. And that can be emotional, that can be social, that can be all these other things. But we translate those needs into body hunger, food hunger. Mm-hmm. It's just something that it doesn't occur to us, and that there are these things that we call hunger, but they aren't. They are hunger of sorts, but they're not food and body hunger.
Yeah, there are two that I've noticed, and the authors brought them up too. One is taste hunger, where sometimes something just sounds good, but you aren't hungry. And so I've noticed that sometimes I'll take a bite or two of something, like a cookie, and that satisfies that. So it's more just like I want the flavor in my mouth for a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then that, and also it sort of connects up with the inner rebel. There's within us, all of us have sort of had this objection to being forced to diet and such, and that's our body fighting back. And so, you know, taste hunger can also be, where your rebel's saying, look, I have been denied for so long. Give it to me. I don't care if I need it or not. Give it to me. And that type of hunger is, you know, it's another emotional hunger. It's not really a physical hunger, but it's true and real.
The other thing that I noticed during my journey here was that as a school psychologist, I would have meetings thrown at me at various times of the day. And sometimes I'd have to just eat when I wasn't hungry, just so I wouldn't get hungry in the middle of the meeting. Like I'd have to eat a little bigger snack or something. And it's not hunger, but it's related to the idea that I had to fuel myself in order to get through something. So that way I could get through the meeting without saying, I have to stop here, so I have to go eat. Just practical.
Yes, our days are sort of claimed in that. I mean, And we don't know how long. That's why part of the learning of when I was feeling hunger was for me to learn more about foods. That carbohydrates will digest fast and be gone fast, and fats will last a little longer, and proteins last the longest. So if you eat only like sweets or something, you're going to be hungry more often. And it's sort of nice before planning, like you had, like if you're going to go into a meeting and you're going, I'm not really hungry right now, but this could last a while. So maybe I want to announce a slice of cheese or something that's going to hold me a little longer. You get a better connection with what you need to eat and how much. You learn to trust yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just experience and time, and that's something that it's hard to kind of sit through and know that you just need time, but it does come. And you said trust does come. So audience, I want to leave you with a couple things to ponder before we leave. The first is, think beyond the common feelings of hunger. And what do you notice is more of the subtle hunger cues that may come up for you? And the other thing is, play with the hunger scale, whether you use the one that Katja mentioned or the one from the book where it's 10 point or 5 point or your own scale. Play with it and just kind of see where you fall at different times of the day. So Katja and I will be back for another topic pretty soon. And thank you for joining me, Katja. It was lovely.
It's interesting for me to review this. I don't think of hunger like as much as I used to. It has become more automatic for me. But it's also important that I go back and review this. I mean, that's what I love about the forum. I get this review and reminders constant. So everyone, I hope you all have fun and play with it. Make it fun. Why not? We've drudged enough.
Yeah, I know. Dieting was awful. Make this fun, right? I totally agree. Okay, so again, this is Deborah from MyMindMyBody.net. Please like, comment, and subscribe, and take care. Bye.